If you have a moment, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 11 for just a moment? And then we're going to have the recessional where the graduates go out to the back. And when they do go to the back, we're going to ask that right after the service, you'll go back there and shake their hand and congratulate them. They'll be in the lobby. And then Brother Daniel has some further instructions. I think they have a little something for them over there in the great room for the family and the graduates. We're in Matthew chapter 11, and I'm going to read a portion of Scripture. And then we're going to get to the main sentence that we're going to look at together, and it's the very last one of the portion we're reading. But I want you to catch the theme, the context this story falls under. It's the words of Christ, and it says that he had just found out that John has been cast into prison. People have their questions. They've got some argument about this. And so Jesus puts the questions to them in regards to John the Baptist. Look what he says there in verse 7. Matthew 11, verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? And what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he, of whom it is written, Behold, I will send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking. And they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Look at this next phrase. But wisdom is justified of her children. Wisdom is justified of her children. There's much I could say and might even need to say, but will not for the sake of time, in regard to the context of this, but everybody has their take on who John the Baptist is and who Christ is. And he's given to us this generation that you cannot please. This generation who even contradicts themselves. This generation who's just angry and they don't know why. This generation that wants that never can be satisfied. This generation who feels entitled, but they can never, again, be satisfied. It is a generation that looks at evil and says, that's good, and looks at good and says, that's evil. It's a generation that's got it twisted, and you can't please them. You can't please them. And that's a generation in Christ's day. Now, it sounds like I'm explaining today's generation. But men do not change. Mankind have always been mankind. You show me a sin problem in this generation, and I could take you back 1,000 years and say it's the same thing. It may be packaged differently. It may even have some nice little psychological terminology to it, but it's still the same old stuff. Sin, sin. And it's been in the bloodstream of mankind for all of time, since the beginning in the garden. I remember going to the Philippines and spending some time in a third world country, way behind in many of the conveniences we enjoy here in America. They don't have there. Conveniences like, well, like a road. I remember the national pastor, he grew up, of course, in the Philippines, and he says, I don't understand America. He goes, you have so many roads. He goes, you have roads go that way, that way, that way. He goes, we have one road. And then you get off wherever you're riding and you walk through the jungles. You walk through paths and rice paddies and fields. You have so many roads. They couldn't understand how we have so many routes and roads and streets. Blows their mind. We talked about, you know, the economy. We talked a lot about the conveniences. The housing is incredible as far as the difference. You can see some nice homes in the Philippines, but they're very few. A lot of the people just live little square huts that during the daytime they turn it into places to sell wares and fruit stands. And at nighttime they close the window and they have a little electricity so they can turn their TVs on. And that's where they live until the next morning when business opens again. And it's a box no bigger probably than where I'm standing, this platform. You see those just lined across the road. That's how they stay alive. That's their livelihood. Lots of things that are different. You come from a place like that and you just so appreciate what you've got here in America. But there's one thing he said that just blew me away. He goes, you know, he said, this is the national pastor. His name's Ralph Ibanez. Ralph Ibanez said, he goes, when it comes to technology and economical success, he goes, America's here. We're here. He says, but when it comes to sin, we're right there. And his whole point was the same problems that he deals with as a pastor and the same issues that people have in their homes and in their marriages and the same tendency and the corruption that you would find among people that will never learn. He'll say, it's right there. The porn industry is right there. Everything about America that we think, oh, it's really bad, it's just the same in the Philippines. Their sins and the drunkenness and the wife beating and abuse of children, it's right there. Jesus says, I liken this generation unto a group that's alive today. It's the same kind of generation. Now, this is what he says, though, about it all. He says, when they think of John the Baptist, they call him a heathen. When they think of me, he's talking about himself, the Son of Man, they think I'm a gluttonous and wine-bibber. They take two men who are extreme opposites in the way they live. What's he talking about? Well, do this real quick now. John the Baptist was a man who did not have real nice conveniences. In fact, he was kind of a woodsman, come out of the wilderness, dressed differently, lived on wild honey and locusts. You remember that, okay? Jesus lived differently. Now, Christ didn't have a place to lay his head, but he did sleep in homes and places where people offered him. And Jesus' diet was very common. He ate like anybody else ate. But look at John the Baptist and see how he, you know, is so frugal and lives just on meager means and says, yeah, but he's a heathen. But look at Jesus, who's the extreme opposite, common in his diet, does what everybody else does, and they say he's a gluttonous because they're comparing them so they can contrast them. Doesn't make sense, but that's exactly what they're doing. They're comparing to contrast, which is a contradiction. And that's the whole point. Christ is saying they're contradicting themselves. All that to say, but when it comes to the very end, when it comes to the bottom line, something is true about everybody. No matter if they contradict themselves, no matter if they point fingers and say, you're politically incorrect, or you don't fit our style. You're of different class. You're of different background. Whatever your take is, he said, this one puts us all on the same level. And what is it? This last statement. But wisdom is justified of her children. Wisdom is justified. Say what you will, something is going to speak the truth. Something's going to tell me exactly the way it is. All the rhetoric we want, all the explanations, give me all the excuses, tell me where you stand, what's your opinion, what does your blog say? But when it's all said and done, there's one fact that is, I mean, level ground for everybody, and that is this, that wisdom is justified of its children. What does that mean? Well, he's basically saying this, that wisdom has a byproduct. That's what a child is. A child is a byproduct. These children here are byproducts of a couple's love, a home. Wisdom's children, or wisdom's byproduct, is justified by that very product. In other words, all we have to do is look at your life. We look at who you are, and your works speak for themselves. The fruit tells me what you are. You know, it's like Christ said, you shall know them. How? Because they're so eloquent. You shall know them because they're so talented. No. You know them by their fruits. You ever had your kids tell on you? Why do they do that? You're like, shh, you know. We thought it was fun to see them talk, and then we're like, no, stop talking. Don't stop. Children aren't honest. They're just honest. They just say it like it is. If you're not careful, they'll talk too much, and you'll have to get them in the car and go home. They're the truth. That's what makes them so wonderful. They just speak what's there. Well, the children of every one of us is our byproduct, our works. And they speak so loudly. Someone once said, I can't hear what you're saying because your actions are so loud. In other words, you speak louder with who you are and how you act. We have children that we work with here, and it's such a privilege. These children are the byproduct of your homes. Our young people are the byproduct of our homes and of this church family. It matters how they are raised. Because what they are going to be is what we put in it. When I mean put in it, I'm talking about prayer, teaching the Word of God, modeling true righteousness, not a bunch of religious Phariseeism and rhetoric, and we want them to make us all look good. No. We instill in them the real stuff of character and righteousness, and most of all, we make sure they know Christ as their Savior. We pour our life. These walls have been erected. That school has been established. Our homes are what they are because we're trying to bring forth, for the glory of Christ, a byproduct that's going to tell on us. Do we always get it right? No. But your children are your product. They're the product of this ministry. And it's justified by those children. So what do we want to see? What kind of product do we want to have? There's nothing greater in my life and my ministry that I can tell you than to see the evidence of Christ in their life. If they can get Christ, if they can come to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then folks, we've done the greatest service we could ever, ever offer as a ministry if they get Christ. If they get Christ. If they get opportunities, good. If they get, you know, great learning, sure. We're about that. I'm not going to shirk and cut that corner. They need it. We're all about these things. If you get all of that and miss Christ, it's going to tell on us. Wisdom is justified by her children. The greatest wisdom that we could ever hope to offer this our children is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we make no apology that our education, our teaching, our songs, everything we do is to instill Christ in them. Because the glad day is going to come that they themselves, as they stood here in front of all of you and received the diploma for the hard work, one day they're going to stand by themselves before King Jesus. And I wonder how we're going to feel when it's their turn. Now, those kids were in your church. Those are the kids you raised. Those are the kids you taught in fourth grade. Those are the kids you had in youth group. When they stand before Christ, how are you going to feel? What's going to go through your mind? How glad you will be if you gave them Christ. How glad you're going to be. Wisdom is justified by her children. And it just tells who and what we are by what comes forth out of their life. And so Jesus just settles the score. Everybody can talk about this or that, but when it comes to the brass tacks, when it comes to the bottom line, wisdom will be justified by her children. Let's pray.